I told Ralph Finch, wherever he's gone, that it was fun to see all the little purple books running around this morning and to see the folks looking through them and examining them. We've been looking for a couple of weeks now at how we live in the Spirit. This comes out of some things that Jesus is quoted as saying in the book of John. He says to some of the people who were critics of his, he said, you are of this world, but I am not of this world. He said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. This was when he had been arrested, had been beaten, and was close to being crucified. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my disciples would have fought. And in the great prayer that he gives for his disciples, and I believe for us, he says, they, that is my disciples, are not of this world any more than I am of this world. And out of these and other verses, we can recognize that there is a spiritual dimension to life. A lot of folks seem to be trapped in the material dimension. And so the question is, how do we live more in the spiritual dimension? Last week and the week before, we looked at a section in Ephesians 6 that talks about God's armor. And we noticed that we were called on to wear that armor. And we looked for a couple of weeks at the nature of that. So if you'll turn briefly to Ephesians chapter 6, I want to just extend just a tiny little bit of what we were doing there. He says in verse 11, put on the full armor of God. He says in verse 13, that is why you must take up all of God's armor. And then starting in verse 14, he begins to talk about God's armor as truth, right relationship with God, an eagerness to spread the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and God's Word. What I want you to do this morning as we begin is to take a look at the verses that immediately follow that description of the armor of God. I want us to look at verse 18. And I want you to notice some of the wording that's used here. What does he say is what you should add to the wearing of God's armor? Because if you will, I think this is connected. It's not unconnected. We need to add prayer. 18. Okay. Now, I want to see if you can find in verse 18 and maybe verse 19, which extends into verse 20, what are the aspects of prayer that he calls on God's people to use? There's armor you're supposed to wear. But then he says, prayer is now an integral part of what we do.
At all times.
Mine says, at every occasion. So, living a life that is characterized by prayer constantly being a part of what you're doing. Okay? He then says in the front of verse 19, something else. Let's just read this. Mine says, in all of your prayer and entreaty, keep praying in the Spirit on every possible occasion. So, it's praying at all times. It's also praying in the Spirit. My translation in verse 19 starts out, never get tired of staying awake to pray for all God's holy people. That's the tail end of 18? Then fine, let's go to the tail end of 18. Yeah. I think I heard somebody use the word persevering. Persevering. Never stop. Never give up. And he says what you're never to give up on, what you're to persevere in. It's praying for who? Praying for all.
God's mindset, God's holy people. I heard somebody saying, the saints, somebody said one other thing, and that is Christians. Why do you think he put the word all in there?
Oh, I know. Let's just wait and come back to that. But you'd be thinking about that as we move along. Okay?
You'll have to be alert, which I think is to be looking out for occasions, too, not just as they happen to come.
Mine says staying awake.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to switch colors here for just a minute. I want to put a box around that because we need to be keeping an eye on that one, too.
Let me give you a little preview of where we're going. When I started with this little section, I took you into the verses that I think show you the Bible's call for God's people to live in the Spirit and not solely and only in the material world. And so my question was for us to explore, how do we do that? The question about God's armor and what we're sort of finishing right now, that becomes answer A. I've got answer B and C and D that you haven't seen yet. And so I've got some more things to go just to let you know. When we get into B and C and D, there's one of them where this piece comes alive. They use that same imagery. Since it's still Paul's letters that we're going into, that's probably not surprising that he reemphasized something. But as we do that, just be alert to the fact that being alert shows up again. Thank you, Edna. Thank you. What else is in this? Praying at all times, at every occasion, praying in the Spirit, persevering, never stopping, being alert to opportunities to prayer. I think, Caroline, you've got something good there. And praying for all of God's holy people. What else does it say?
The kinds of prayers, because there are different types of prayers and reasons that we might pray.
Sometimes
out loud, sometimes
He actually says prayer and request, entreaty, which yours calls requests. And we might explore a little bit what you might be talking about that.
Covenant prayer for
himself. Yeah. And he says pray for all of God's holy people. But he also says pray for me. Pray for me.
And there's something there I think we need to explore. Is there anything else that we need to look at?
He's pretty specific.
Yeah.
He doesn't just say pray for me. He says pray for me concerning these things. Now, what are these things?
His witnessing.
What he says. That he'll have the word. That he'll have the courage or boldness to say them. What else?
If anything.
That's the gospel secret. I think that's interesting, the word secret.
Yeah, he uses the word mystery, and any time in the New Testament you see the word mystery, almost every time, the word mystery doesn't mean secret in the sense that you think of that word. It means something that used to be hidden, but now is revealed. Anytime Paul is using that term, almost every time, maybe an exception, I don't think so, he uses that term, and what he means by that term is something that used to be unknown, used to be not understood, but is now revealed if anybody has the eyes and ears that the Spirit gives to be able to see it.
Now, is this all the times he's in prison? Does that make a difference?
Yeah.
The thing I think I want you to see, and I think it's in mine, I think it's in yours as well, the third word here is fearlessness. That's the way it's translated in mine. This is the word that gets repeated. The word prayer gets repeated, and the word fearlessness applying to him gets repeated. Okay, so my purpose this morning is to get to part B. Not going to happen, because I don't want to give this
less time than it deserves, and I think there's enough here to probably keep us busy fruitfully for today. But I want us to go through these things to be ready for part B the next time. Okay. So I'd like to start here, and I think Caroline has given us a start. If you connect this with this, the connection that she made, which I think is very good, is the connection that says looking for opportunity. Or looking for reasons to pray. I think, Carolyn, that's close to what you talked about. And I think that's very good. What are occasions or opportunities to pray? What prompts you to pray?
When I see an accident.
You see an accident?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I want to thank God for something that I
I think this is important enough. Maybe I need to start thinking a little. I'm going to widen yours to when I see a problem. When I see something going on that God's help is probably needed. Say yours.
Mine was more of a thank you for giving me an answer to another prayer.
When I realize I need to thank God for what God's done.
Help in preparing for the day ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't get to leave that one until you put a complimentary one up next to it.
Thanks for getting through that today.
Okay, and as long as you don't put those two up, we're going to put one in between. Not too hard. Not too hard. Prepare for the day ahead. Thank God for getting through that day. What do you put halfway through?
Right.
God, I'm standing in the middle of it right now. Right? Thank you for getting me through the first half. I still need you for the second half. Or, okay, now's when it gets the worst. But I don't know exactly how to articulate that one. But I think, and I think that's when it talks about praying at all times. Something like that is what they're talking about. I could have heard you had something else that it made.
I think of worship. Sometimes you just pray to worship the Lord because He's deserving of your prayer, of worship. And not really asking for anything like just saying how almighty and how wonderful and all knowing and, you know, those praising.
Asking. I'll stop on that one just a second. I'm trying to figure out how to say this. I had a moment this morning during the invitation hymn when I stopped singing because I was experiencing an interesting emotion. I leaned over to the person I was sitting next to and I said, "There's a double miracle sitting on the front row." And I don't know if any of you all know enough to know that. I'll just leave it euphemistic if you were there. There was a couple that joined, and the husband in that couple is a miracle. He was very, very hard hearing. Came to this class for a while and had a device where I wore an extra microphone that went only to this thing, and maybe he could catch every third word. And he, modern medicine maybe explains it all, I don't know, but I'm not going to buy that God didn't have a part of it. He's gotten much of his hearing back. He's wearing a little hearing aid and he's beginning to function again. In the meantime, when he was in here, he had so many questions. I don't think I've ever seen anybody have so many questions. And they called up and said, you know, this guy's asked for somebody to just work specifically with him. That's a huge commitment. You know that? That's a huge commitment. And they said to me, "Who do you think could do that?" And I suspect they were wanting me to say that I would. And it's one of those things that I spent a long time about. And I finally said, well, there's a couple of people that I know that I think might be able to do this, and if they were to be able to do this, I think they'd do a real good job. And again, I'm not going to single people out, but there's a person sitting in this room that my gratitude to that person is very high, because I think he's worked with this fella maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, for months and months and months now. And this morning, that young man joined the church, and he says, "I'm here for baptism," which is a different kind of signal. His wife is standing next to him, I think. I don't know for sure. I suspect she probably was ready to join sometime back, but wanted to wait to where they could come together. There's something interesting about that. And the moment came,
Susan, what washed over me was how good God is to find ways of helping somebody who's got all these questions about him to be able to hear, in this case literally, what God has to say, and to find somebody through whom God can help those things be seen. There's a praise that goes with that. And today was a pretty special day on that front. Today's not the only day. There's days like that that come for a while. I must have your hair one day out in the parking lot when you finally started getting your hair back. My wife looked at me and said, "Don't you do that." And I said, "I had to." Because I just felt so much joy at seeing you come back. And there's others of you that I can say the same thing about, people that I've seen in places where, you know, it just wasn't clear what was going to happen in those places. And yet, here we all are. How do we do that? We do that with prayer. So, let's see now. A couple of you had a couple of other things to add. I just felt like I had to comment on that one for a moment. John?
Asking for forgiveness for sinners.
What's so special about that one? What's so special about that one? It's because God made you sensitive enough to realize, you know, I didn't do that one very well. And you don't get it back. That opportunity is gone. But say to God, right then, I didn't do that one very well.
What you have down there, see a problem, but how about if you hear about a problem?
What else?
I'm going to have to set the best example from the situation arising that we would say or do the right thing when you need to affect someone else.
Down that we would be able to do the right things at the right times. And what I mean is when we see those moments approaching to do that.
I've always had a real big problem with worrying. And I mean, I worry about things to the point where situation is bad enough, the problem is debilitating. And I've always had to pray for the freedom from love. And I mean true worry, not just concern, but really love. They just can't worship or do anything when they're in a state of such a brother.
I'm going to change your words a little bit. Will you accept paralyzing anxiety?
Yeah. I didn't want to do that, sir, but okay.
I'm only using that word because I'm reflecting a couple of moments that I've had from time to time that you get so worried that all of a sudden you can't function.
Well, the word is fear of outcome.
Yeah. Right now?
God is in the restroom when I have this vision. When they're making decisions.
If you don't know, WRT stands for with respect. That's the word they use. Yeah, in fact, they're.
Sometimes when I don't plan up, I worry about say, the sermon that Jim Pardue had about keeping God in the attic and pulling him out when he needs. So that somehow relevant to what we're talking about this week. We've got to pray when we're fearful or we have bad news. And we should be praying every day, all the time, versus pulling him out when we need.
I don't even know how to word that before you're hitting
God's
the sermon.
God's not a 911.
You're hitting.
the center of the target. Not a heavenly 911. Okay? Yeah.
For clarification for what scripture means, confusing scripture. Teach me what this means.
And if I can add to that, for help with realizing which scriptures I really ought to be thinking about, and then, because I think that connects up to the trip.
For protection.
When do we tend to pray that prayer?
Yeah.
When we're feeling threatened and it's already started. When ought we to do that?
So,
and preparing for the bad head, and thanks for that. Yes, ma'am.
We pray, we see problems, and we feel problems, and we pray for those problems. But sometimes those prayers aren't answered, or you feel like you can't control that, and you have to just hand it over to God, and maybe it's just giving God all those problems so that you can have an energy.
Okay, let me see if I can expand this one in the direction that you're suggesting. Praying for the freedom from paralyzing anxiety to be able to turn things over to God. Every once in a while something is said and I realize it's just been amplified through the experience of all the people in the room. Okay, I saw two right in here, Kitty and this guy.
For the continued work of the Holy Spirit as we pray for salvation of others.
Will you permit me to take a risk? How many people have been praying for somebody in that way for more than a year? How many have been praying for more than 5 years? How many have been praying for more than 10 years? If I kept going, I suspect there'd be some here who would keep going. Yeah. Jane?
That was what I was wondering.
I suspect.
But also praying for healing from you put that under problems, I guess, but healing from something.
Take another risk. I told you about 10 minutes ago that I think this young couple that came forward this morning, that the man sort of represented a double miracle. And I used that word advisedly. I said medicine may be able to explain some of it, but I think God was in it too. Are there times when the miracle is a little bit more clear? I think it was this week, and I don't remember now who it was in the email, said, I had asked for prayer for something. Somebody replied, Jane, I think maybe it was you, with the name of a doctor and a nurse to see specifically. And I found out that my friend had, was it Jane? My friend had just seen that doctor's office and had talked to that nurse on the way into the doctor as they did that. Lay that one out how you wish. But things like that happen often enough. There are times you hear about people who have some kind of an illness, and it just doesn't work, it doesn't work. And we heard this week about a young woman that, I think the quote was, went to a healing service. And all of a sudden, even the scars that the doctor had seen before were suddenly gone. I don't explain that one, other than somebody prayed. Yeah.
It'll be 2 years in January since I woke up now. And, you know, you all prayed for me and prayed for me and prayed for me. And I went to doctor and stuff, different kinds of doctors. And one day during Sunday school, someone came to me and said, I know someone. And would it be okay for you if I contacted them to see if they can work something out for you to come to MCD? It's not easy to get in there. And I was to the point where I didn't know what else to do. You know, we just kept getting dead in. And because of that, and I think all the before prayer, before that, led to that. And I'm still not well. I don't know if I ever will be well. But the prayer, I know I still have prayers for my management of my problems. But as most of you know, I do have a diagnosis and nothing really we can do about it except live with it. But
you at least know what you do.
But I know what I'm dealing with, and the person that cared enough to say, I'd like to try this, but I'm not going to work. I'm not going to be able to get in where you need to get in. We didn't even know where I needed, what department I really needed to go to. And after getting in, I was in several departments before we finally got to a place where, you know, they were able to find out. But prayers take all kinds of directions after they get started. They get started for one reason, and then they turn on the prayers.
Who else? That's the first one. Pray at all times. Why is Paul saying pray in the Spirit? Yes, sir.
There are times when you're not sure what to pray for and turn it over to the Spirit.
I think that's exactly right. There's a phrase in Paul that says, when you don't know how to pray, the Spirit prays in words that human beings can't understand. I think that's probably at the heart of what he's talking about. That if we don't,
in the sense of turning things over to God and leaving them there, some things get so deep and so complicated and so close that all you can say is, I don't even know how to pray about this. So I'll pray to the Spirit, that the Spirit will pray and know how to pray. And my suspicion is we probably would be better off if we did that more often.
Bill?
Yeah.
Kind of along that line, when you were kind of praying about protection a minute ago, my husband mentioned praying for protection when you're in a backfight. But that made me think all of us, even if we haven't been in war, we're always at war with Satan. And so we're always in a firefight of one degree or another. And we need the Holy Spirit. We need to pray ourselves. We need to pray in Jesus' name, all the armor, and ask the Holy Spirit to show us how to pray.
It's real interesting that you say that. I told you a moment ago that I heard this week about somebody who was healed to the point where the scars that had been there just were suddenly gone, right? The person who told me that said that the person who was healed was so happy about it that they were telling everybody. And this same person said, I counseled this person, be careful, because now Satan's going to attack in a different way. He's been attacking physically, he's going to shift and start attacking spiritually. And I think that's a good caution. This is not just physical protection, but it's spiritual protection as well. And
Bill, you're exactly right, because it's kind of sad in a way, because when a new Christian comes to know the Lord, or becomes a new Christian, a new believer,
or people have wanted things to happen. That if they've been around very long, they know exactly what you said, that when they're up here, that's exactly when Satan is going to just try to attack on all fronts and tear them down in another way. And I think we need to ask God to help us to enjoy the moments that we're in while continuing to pray for that protection. But we need to be able to enjoy those moments and not fear, go back to that fear again, that, oh no, that you wait for the other shoe to drop, you know, mm-hmm. so that we don't enjoy and share that joy with others.
How many people recognize that one? Yes, sir.
Yeah, just my wife, about a year ago, I was praying for peace. And I don't know if that's too personal or not, but
hang on a second. Is that too personal?
No.
No, that's not too personal. I just checked with some experts that I know of. Yes, that's something to pray for.
Patience.
Yeah.
I like what has been done yesterday. I like my prayers done yesterday. I get impatient myself more than anybody else.
I haven't let you guys see this, but it's always been out here. I have on the front of the book that I carry my notes in, prayers according to Myers-Briggs types. Okay. And one of them is, Lord, help me to be more laid back and help me to do it exactly correctly. Lord, here's another one. Lord, keep me open to the ideas of others, as wrong as they may be. Now, my favorite, which hits the target that you just set up, Lord, give me patience, and I want it right now. And for patience until I get patience. Yeah.
I was going to say, as far as praying in the Spirit, going back to the full armor and picking up the sword, which is the Word of God, and I have a note in my ear saying that that's a spoken word, and therefore you should be memorizing parts of the Bible that will help you.
I heard somebody say this week in something I was listening to, that if you're going to memorize Scripture, try to memorize out of a translation that helps you memorize Scripture. Mm-hmm. And for some parts of the Bible, like the Psalms and the Proverbs, it's very hard to beat the King James because there's a majesty in the words and so forth. For some of Paul's letters, you might want to go to New Living Translation or even the Message. But try to find a way to find a translation that makes that part of Scripture come alive and memorize it in a form where you not only know what it means, but the words themselves help you to do that. I sort of figure I'll know when to quit teaching Sunday school class when every time I make an allusion, everybody in the room has already remembered that immediately. So far, that hasn't been a problem. I don't anticipate that coming anytime soon. Okay. Persevering, never stop, never give up. I think this one is implicit in the Christian world, and I think that there's a part of that says, sort of like Peter said, when some of the people that had been following him started to turn away when they realized that things were getting hard, and Jesus asked Peter and some of the other disciples, are you going to desert me as well? And Peter's response was, where else can we go? Nobody else has the words of life like you do. So I think part of this is easy if you realize who Jesus is and what's his name. But it's this part back up here that I think maybe be worth amplifying for a moment. But what's the opposite of alertness? sleep. Yeah, and that's why the sort of parallel for that is staying awake, sleepwalking through life. Drowning. Okay.
Drowsy. Unaware, just unaware, and like having blinders on or something.
Let me put up a different alternative, a different opposite, and that is distracted. You understand why I'm putting that one up? You remember the seed that was sown into the rocky places and it sprang up, but then the cares and toys of life sort of came and choked it all out. I think that's the signal about distractions. And sometimes alertness means you got to keep your eye on the main thing. And distractions, you're still alert in that sense of the word, but you're not alert to the right things. The tripwires, to use some of the signals of the firefight, the tripwires haven't been set up in the right places.
You know how sometimes a Bible story will come to your mind as you were when you were real young? And whenever I see "Don't give up, never stop stealing," the first thing I think about are the virgins that let their lamps go out. They didn't stay awake. They keep the tent.
We sing about that, don't we?
Yeah.
There's one of the oldie goldies, as we call it.
I'm giving my age away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When I think of distraction, I usually think about where it says go into a closet, you know, where nothing can get or supposed to, I mean, other than your mind. Your mind can distract you.
That's hard too. Praying for all of God's holy people. That word "all" seems to me jarring in its presence. Why didn't you say pray for God's holy people? Or pray for the saints, or pray for the... Why did he have to say all?
Maybe
there's some you wouldn't necessarily think of praying for.
And what do you mean by holy? Why, how about some of the people that aren't holy?
Well, I think you got an out on that one. Don't forget, in the Christian view, holiness is what God gives. Mm-hmm. It's not what people offer. But I think there's something about that all. And I think in modern days, in some larger groups than just the local church, in some of the larger bodies, there's been a loss of that. Yeah. I'll bring the people on my side in this debate, but I'm not going to bring the people on the other side.
I think that kind of comes in with the distraction. I think he's really aware of how distracted we can truly get. So he is always specific in what he wants done. That way, when we come to him and he asks, why didn't you do this? We can't go up there and say, well, I didn't know. We can't say that. He pinpoints. He tells us exactly what he wants us to do.
What about that last one, when he says, and pray for me? What's he asking for in that prayer? Prayer for what he says, and the courage to say it when it needs to be said.
There's also another thing he says in there, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me. He's asking for the right response.
Are you guys praying for me? I can remember almost being electrified when a small group out of the other class invited Barbara and me over for supper one night. And we finished supper, we were sitting around the table, and one of them said, we've been talking about this, and we want to do this now. We want to know what we can pray about specifically for you. And I remember really being moved by that. I remember, Kitty, this will connect with you. The first time that I went over to Shiloh to visit with them. And one of the things they wanted to know as they were preparing for me to come was, you know, okay, now, before you come, what can we pray for you? The power of prayer to bind
people together, to connect people that otherwise might not be well connected or connected at all. I'm not sure I can overemphasize. Pray for all of God's holy people, including the ones who have leadership responsibility. There's a verse in Scripture that says, not very many of you ought to want to be teachers because we're held to a stricter account. That's a chilling verse for somebody who stands up here. Do you pray for the pastor regularly? Do you pray for the people who work in the areas, to lead the areas that you work in? And if you're a leader in an area, are people praying for you? Just in case you've lost sight of this whole section, everything we've been doing for the last couple of months has been focused on prayer. All we've been doing about living life in the Spirit was to bring us back to this subject and try to bring us back to this subject where you could see it more clearly. And we're going to keep doing that.
Prayer for rain to break the drought. And it was on the internal papers and some of the national media kind of poo-pooed it. But guess what?
They got some rain yesterday.
Yeah, I don't mind. They got some.
Bill, I think Paul is saying, don't forget, I need this as much as anybody. I need the prayer. Your prayer.
If you ever find a person who claims to be a Christian leader who doesn't say that, you don't have an authentic one.
It's important to call people by name and pray.
Mm-hmm. Why do we spend so much time on this part of the board every morning? There have been people come and join this class because this class was praying for them. And they came just to see, who are these people who would pray for me when they don't even know who I am? Except secondhand. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we thank you for the time we have. And we thank you that there's an open door called prayer, where we can bring our concerns to you, but where we can also bring to you our worship, our praise, our thanksgiving, and our seeking of forgiveness. We thank you that that door is open. It's open every day and every minute of every day. And we thank you that you have put the Spirit in our hearts so that you yourself live so close to us that even when we don't know how to pray about something, you'll even take over and help in that. Help us learn even more how to support each other in prayer. How to learn enough about each other that we can pray with some degree of knowledge. And how to be bold enough to share our deeper concerns. And I pray for boldness. And I pray for the right words. And I thank you that so often you provide that. All these things we pray in your Son's name.